Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, in the heart of the Salish Sea. Broadcasting live from the beehive of activity we call the Gene Bosch Voice of Vachon studio in the uptown core of bustling and bodacious Vachon town, and sweeping the airways of our bountiful and bucolic island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we the Briefly strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. So let me introduce the Briefly panel. It includes our flight control board magician, retired Alaska Airlines captain, long-tenured Vachon Airport commissioner, Voice of Vachon board member, nearly reformed West Texan, Eastern Montana raised, former island intelligence specialist. That is not an oxymoron, I don't think. And the longest serving, Briefly, Truman O'Brien.
Well, thanks for tuning in, folks. We'll talk to you all next week.
So, missing today while traveling in Italy, so we all feel sorry for him, is our legal beagle, Craig Bellis. Today, we have our part-time Politico dedicated ferry fixer, Vachon Island Fire and Rescue Commissioner, 1448 star executive director of Vachon Household and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreyer.
Hi, today is the day for shenanigans.
It is definitely shenanigans. Yeah,
this is it. Here we go, everyone.
And the voice of indivisible Vachon in the Vachon Climate Action Group, in addition to chairing the Equity, Social Justice, and Inclusion Committee of the Vachon Maury Island Community Council, mariner, backpacker, rower, electric vehicle owner, and indefatigable defender of democracy, Kevin Jones, today wearing an appropriately Irish-looking cap.
Dapper cap, definitely.
The Hannah hats officially.
Do we have our Kevin?
We need earphones.
Oh, you don't have your headphones.
We forgot.
We're all kind of coordinated today here in the studio.
We're all scrambling to find our earphones. We forgot that Kevin's online. Now we can hear you.
We can hear you now, Kevin. That's right. Everybody else heard you. So
awesome. Good to be here.
All right. And I am historian Bruce Hallman. Today, we're fooling around with the microphones, the headphones.
Yeah, everyone's headphones are on this
thing. There we go.
You have to be real careful. You don't blast somebody's ears out.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, there we go. All right. You got it now? Okay, here we go.
We're more or less.
Well, that's what Brian says.
It's live radio and all its foibles.
Sit back, have a Guinness, listen. Yeah, exactly. Listen with good heart.
Yep. Definitely. So today we have Karen Dale and Lawson Cannon with us, joining us on the Briefly to help celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We'll talk with them a little bit about that in a bit. But first, let's check in with everybody on how your week went. So, Truman.
Well, I had an interesting week. First of all, we almost got the forklift running. So we're getting close to getting all of the equipment from Forest Stewards sent out. But on Saturday, I think it was Saturday. Now I'm confused. But anyway, we lost power at 9 o'clock in the morning. Was that Saturday? I think it was. Yeah, and the bad thing was, I went out and started my generator. It produced 120 volts just fine, but not 240. And 240 is what I need to run the house. And I don't run the whole house. I just run a few things, you know, like refrigerator, freezer, computers. And the most important is the fan on the insert on the fireplace. And without that fan, that fireplace is virtually worthless. Mm. So rather, the only heat you'd generate would be that which you're carrying all the wood in to burn the darn fireplace. So I said, oh, I'm not even going to start. Oh, and PSE said, oh, yeah, we'll have it fixed by 2. So I thought, well, that's a few hours, but we can survive that long. We got it back at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ooh. The house was frigid. And I mean, the whole house was frozen for 11 hours we spent with no power. So that precipitated my decision to go with a whole house generator. Gonna have to spend a few bucks, but it'll be worth it. And then on Sunday, I did go to the Open Space, Taste of Open Space. Mm-hmm. They're a fundraiser, and it was great fun. Your partner, John Flora, and his wife mm-hmm. were there, mm-hmm. and our new GM, Amanda Keller, okay. was there. So we had a great time. That's probably where I picked up this cold, though, by the way, but it was a great show and really a fun time. So I thank David and Janet for that.
Sounds like a great week.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
and that snow, even though it was heavy and a lot of people lost power, it was beautiful.
It was pretty.
It was just a spectacular snowfall. Yeah. I've rarely seen it snow all day long on Vashon like that.
All day long.
It just kept, and it wasn't ever heavy. It was just light, gentle snow, but it kept coming and kept coming
It went back and forth from big flakes to little tiny flakes, you know, but the darn thing just did not stop all day long.
But it was wet and heavy.
And heavy, yeah. Yep.
So, Karen, how about you? What's your week been like?
Well, this week's been really focused on these two Irish shows. The snow was really nice. It snowed all day long at our place, too. But we never lost power that day. But we'll probably talk about what Saturday was. But I will say that John Whelan, one of our headliners, who was going to leave the next day for New York, also was out of power for all day long. And so kudos to his wife, Jan, who came to our gig to do her 90-minute ticket selling slot and did it the entire evening because, as she said, I don't want to go home. It's cold and dark there. So she just stayed and did the duty. So that was great. Yeah.
That's great. Good. So, Kevin, how about you? What's your week been like?
Hey, you know, I had a first life experience this week of being able to carry a racing quad over snow-covered beach to get into the water in Quartermaster Harbor and go for a row on that second day after the snow. So I thought that was pretty awesome. We had a wonderful day out there. Also had a chance to go to a Shamrocky birthday party. So you'll remember Rocky Rakovic and Jen, his wife, who joined us a while back, talk about cleaning up Quartermaster Harbor. Rocky's birthday on the 14th he celebrated, so congratulations, Rocky. Also Kat Eggleston and Jim Page at the Indivisible Vashon monthly meeting on the 11th. Totally amazing performances, talking, you know, sharing their perspectives. Kat in particular about her family growing up in the Dust Bowl and the challenges there, and Jim talking about his advocacy. Today, by the way, should mention that the Quartermaster Yacht Club, I'm hosting the VHF Radio Tech Talk tonight at Meyer's Hut, 6:30 p.m. If you don't know where the Yacht Club is, go north from Burton. When you get to the top of the hill, park on the road or take a left and park up the hill in the parking lot and walk down the ramp to the hut for the VHF Radio Tech Talk at 6:30 tonight. Look forward to seeing folks there.
Great.
Great. Thanks. Lawson, how about you? What's your week been like?
My week was almost identical to Karen's because we spent every waking and sleeping moment getting ready for not only the two shows, the one on Saturday night at the Snapdragon, the Island Irish Fest, where we played along with many other wonderful Irish musicians. And from what we could tell, everybody had a good time. And then for tonight's show, an evening in Ireland, which will be very different than going to a club. It would be more like going to a living room, but maybe a century ago.
No.
And that's what we had in mind, and you'll be hearing some samples of that today. So between rehearsals and playing in three different groups, we've had a busy week.
sounds like a wonderful week.
Yeah, it was.
It has, and it still is.
Yeah.
And we'll hear more about Saturday night and then tonight a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Amy, how about you? What's your week been like?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the snow day, right, was the big highlight. But I had the opportunity on Friday in the beautiful snow to go to the opening of the food bank, the grand opening of the food bank behind the Methodist Church. And it's stunning. It's just, it's amazing. It's a wonderful space. Just feel all the feels. It's really just perfect for them. They have a great sort of grocery space, but then they have a lot of storage in the back. They have walk-in fridge, walk-in freezer, right? Just all the appropriate storage for everything. And it's just, you know, their capacity, their resilience, all of it. It's just, it's everything it needed to be and more. So just wonderful collaboration there with the Methodist Church and the food bank and Emily Scott and everyone there who made that possible. It was really magical, especially with the kind of the snow falling down. It was a sweet community event. And then let's see, then kind of Sunday was the big day for me. My friend, Chris Riley, every year, she and her wife, Kat, have a fun little Irish fest for us. And we try to do it on St. Pat's, but, you know, with it falling on a Tuesday, a school night, a little difficult. So we start with the full Irish breakfast, of course, you know, bangers and eggs and beans and tomatoes. And oh my gosh, Kat makes this great soda bread. So we do that. We get ourselves, you know, ready for the day to come, and sipping on some whiskey while we wait for Riley's amazing corned beef and Cole Cannon to come out for dinner. So just good times with good friends, really in the spirit of the day. And a shout out to my wife Erin and her, you know, mother Patsy Plunkett, who went to the St. Patrick's Day parade, the Mulligan's party at the St. Patrick's Day parade in Denver. So we had we've had quite the Irish celebration this week. And then coming up tomorrow night, the Housing Forum, Vashon Household, VCA, from 4:30 to 6, we'll have an ADU open house where you can come and learn not just about, you know, ADUs, DADUs, but anything and everything you kind of might have wanted to ask. King County Public Health and Septic, King County Permitting, the Septic Sisters, about, you know, what it might take to expand or get some more living space going on your property. Vashon Household is, of course, a huge promoter of gentle infill here on the island. And then from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., we will be having our panel discussion with Councilmember Teresa Mosqueda, King County Permitting and King County Septic, to talk about, you know, real world kind of roll up your sleeves solutions to accelerating gentle infill for the island and also building for the island and affordable housing for the island. So that's tomorrow night, VCA, 4:30 to 6, and then 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we are excited to welcome the community.
Great. Excellent. Fantastic. Excellent. That'll be a good evening. It'll be a really good evening. So my week was, of course, the snow day was, you know, grandkids live right around the corner. And so, you know, they're 4, 8, and 12 years old. So it was an interesting time in the snow for them. And I was looking, you know, I just got interested in, because this is fairly late in March to have that much snow. Yeah. But I went online and looked, and actually the latest snow on record in Seattle was in 1927, and it was on April 19th.
Wow.
Can you
really?
Imagine?
No.
That's just sort of like, man, that's, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's way too late in the year. But it was great, and the snow was wonderful. We lost power for, maybe 2.5 hours, you know, so we were fairly lucky on that end. And then Sunday, of course, there was a memorial service for our friend Steve Norse, and it was at VCA. It was a great turnout, and just what an amazing guy Steve has been. And confined to a wheelchair right after. In fact, he contracted a virus on his honeymoon. Mm-hmm. That put him in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. But people from all over the state showed up and sort of testimonies about what a great guy he was, how funny Steve is, and just how much he dedicated himself to sort of the cause of people with different abilities. So it was a very powerful sort of afternoon. And then, of course, yesterday, my wife Pam taught kindergarten for 20-plus years here on the island. One of the things she did every year was she would have the kindergartners build leprechaun traps. So we had the two littlest grandkids over building leprechaun traps yesterday. Then they, you build all these elaborate ways to capture these leprechauns. And of course, this morning we got the report back. The leprechauns came in and they destroyed the traps, but none of them got trapped.
Too wily for your kids.
They are for anybody.
Too cute. Too cute.
But it's fascinating. I mean, kids at Chautauqua would come back, when they were in second or third or fourth grade, and they'd ask Pam, can we build a leprechaun trap? It's sort of like it just becomes a part of St. Patrick's Day for those little kids. So a great way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So let's take a yeah.
Before you do, I have just tell you one thing about snow. I until I was 11 years old, I lived in West Texas, which you guys all know. I had probably seen snow maybe twice, maybe. Mm-hmm. And my mother, of course, would make snow. Snow ice cream, she would call it. Mm-hmm. She would go out mm-hmm. and collect snow and put a little vanilla and sugar on it, and we thought that was really cool. But my first day at school in Montana in January, it was about 15 degrees or 20, maybe the high.
Yikes.
And there was about 3 feet of snow on the ground. And I thought, what in the heck is this? Yeah, I could not believe it. It was hard to breathe, And I thought, oh, my gosh, how do people live here?
Yep, but right.
Anyway, I got used to it. Yeah.
But they taught you not to eat the yellow snow.
They did. You just not eat the yellow snow. Yes, indeed. Right. Indeed. Yeah, the snow cones, lemon-flavored snow cones. No.
All right. So let's take a minute and look at some of the things that have gone on in history on March 17th. Of course, it's St. Patrick's Day, or the Feast of St. Patrick. This is a day that's attributed to St. Patrick's death in 461. And, of course, in New York City, the first St. Patrick's Day in North America, except for one in St. Augustine, 200 years before, but in 1756, New York City celebrated its first St. Patrick's Day, appropriately in a tavern called the Crown and Thistle. And then on this date in 1776, the British were forced to evacuate Boston at the beginning of the American Revolution, a very interesting story in its own right. In 1804, the play by Frederick Schiller, William Tell, premiered. It would be, in 1829 that Rossini wrote his William Tell Overture that became famous for The Lone Ranger and anybody that remembers The Lone Ranger. In 1845, the rubber band was invented.
That's incredible.
Which I thought was interesting. Yeah, it was sort of one of those little...
It hasn't been made obsolete by technology,
exactly.
Has it?
Yeah, no, they still work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they're no longer rubber, but...
That's true.
And then, of course, in 1861, Italy was finally unified as a single kingdom.
Hmm.
Interesting things.
So Craig should be enjoying that.
He should be, yeah.
Oh, that's the other quarter of Maya heritage, actually. A quarter Irish, quarter Italian. So go Italy, go Ireland.
There you go.
So let's get into our small talk and talk with Karen and Lawson. And maybe each of you could take just a moment and remind us a little bit about yourselves, about your background, how you got here, your Vashon story. Everybody has a story they got to Vashon.
Yeah.
And so, Karen, you want to go first?
Sure. Well, I got here in 1995, fell in love with the place after a snowy party in the wintertime, and decided to move here from the Oregon coast. But I had lived in Seattle before that. And I lived here 22 years, and I did all sorts of things. Painted, gardened, wrote a gardening book, and then fell into my music phase in probably, when I was in my middle 50s. And shortly thereafter, I had to leave. Duty called down in Portland. My mom was getting a little disabled, and my sister lived with her and needed some help. And so I moved down there, but I was willing to go because I'd been playing Irish guitar for a little while, and I knew Portland had a great Irish scene, and I had just taken up the fiddle. So Kim Nelson and Holly Tuttle got me started as my fiddle moms, hosting me every Monday night to play the fiddle in their living room. And then I went down there and I took lessons from Kevin Burke, the great fiddler of the Bothy Band, mm-hmm. who is coincidentally going to be on Vashon in a month at the Episcopal Church, one of the Masters of Irish Music concerts put on by Jan Strohl.
What is the name of that great pub in Portland? Great Irish pub.
Well, there's
it's not
TC.
Kells.
TC
is it Kells?
It's
is
Kells,
it?
But also TC O'Neill's in the North End.
It's quite large, as I remember.
That would be Kells. There's Kells. Actually two of them. Yeah. Kells is down in about 2nd Avenue. I used to go there for an evening Sunday.
Right.
And a pretty dicey neighborhood,
I just kind of was thinking that, actually. But
yeah.
All right. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
No, that's all right.
It's a wonderful place.
In Portland, the scene is so good that you can play in an Irish session every night except Friday and Saturday, and for a while, we could play at a bar in the back of a Chinese restaurant on Saturday morning. So we'd have our pancakes and maple syrup, Jameson's, and tunes.
Oh, that is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, so I came back after 7 years. Mom was gone, duty done, and I wanted to come back to Vashon and join my partner here. And so I moved back here about 2 years ago, and it's been, we've been establishing Irishy stuff here a little bit, it's a joy to be back in with the Garden Club and with our friends here. So what about you, Lawson? What's your story?
Well, I was born and raised on the line between South Carolina and North Carolina, right at the doorway to the Appalachian region.
Oh, boy.
And so I would spend my summers in North Carolina and go and hear Appalachian music and see Appalachian dancers. And so that was my introduction to music. Mm-hmm. And then it got buried with sports and life. And 50 years later, I went to hear an Irish band play in a pub in Honolulu, of all places. Yeah. And I said, I know this music. Yeah. And I went up to them and I said, how do I learn this? And they said, wait. And so I waited a little while and then the band dispersed and one of them took me under his wing and I learned from him for a year. And then we started a small group. And after that, I just kept listening and kept playing and became a big part of my life. And so when I came here in 2010, I brought it with me. And Cat Eggleston and John Daly and Wally Bell were the first people that I got to play with here. And they're still close friends ever since.
Fantastic.
So, Cat's quite an influence, too. You know, Cat plays the tuning Dadgad, which is what she taught me my first little bit. Mm-hmm. And Lawson plays in Dadgad, which is a real common tuning for Irish backing. You also play bouzouki, right?
I do. Yeah, the Irish bouzouki is a child of two parents, one the mandolin and the other the Greek bouzouki, which is a very long neck and it looks like it has a gourd body. So when Irish musicians went down to the Balkan states in the late 60s, they brought one of those back, but they found that it didn't make enough noise. Well, let's call it sound.
Yeah.
So they started chopping the body off and putting different things. They ended up with a large mandolin body and an additional row of twin strings, and that became the Irish bouzouki. So it looks a little bit like a mandolin on steroids, but it sounds very different than guitar, even though they're totally compatible to be played together.
It has a little deeper sound, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. And since it has twin strings, that there's a ringing sustain at the end of those notes. Right. And so if you have heard both enough, you will be able to tell the difference whichever you're hearing. And also when they're together, you'll go, oh, that is really,
really
rich.
Different, isn't it? You know, you were talking about being in Hawaii in an Irish pub. We played a song in our show earlier today about the Irish song about the Irish pub, and it said, "No matter where you go in the world, you'll find an Irish pub."
That's right.
It's true, I think.
We were in. I got a text from Erin this morning. She's in Denver, and said, "I wish I were in that cool Irish pub on Kauai with you today."
Yeah.
Right. So there is everywhere you go, you'll find an Irish pub.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lawson is, in fact, wearing a T-shirt of all four of the Irish pubs in Oahu.
Oh, cool.
All four. Cool.
Yes, but I'd have to take my warm sweater off and show you the back of my T-shirt, so you'll have to take Karen's word for it or turn the heat up, one or the other.
There you go.
So what got you to Vashon?
Music. Mm-hmm. Yep, I met musicians who were coming here, and so I said, oh, well, I'll go check that out.
Cool and, place to be.
Started visiting and staying longer and longer.
Great. Oh, fantastic. So, Karen, you mentioned Dadgad. For our listeners who are not musicians,
maybe
you can explain what Dadgad is.
It's you mean they don't know the secret code?
They don't.
Well, actually, this should be Lawson's province. Why don't you explain it?
Okay, well, the letters refer to the note that the strings on the guitar are tuned to. So it's starting low and going high, D, A, D, G, A, D. And you'll notice that five of six of those are either D or its fifth, A. So that is reminiscent of the sound of the Irish pipes, which have a drone for D and a drone for A. So if you don't fret those strings and just let them ring, then it is gives a Celtic, not just Irish, but it could be Scotland or anywhere else in the Celtic world, sound, our feeling of the bagpipes.
Huh.
And because you want to let as many strings ring as possible, it's also easier to play because you have fewer strings fretted. Mm-hmm. So your hands are happy and your ears are happy.
Sure. Well, and you know, the Hawaiians, you play a lot of slack key, which is...
Absolutely. You know, it's very analogous. They just started out hearing the Spanish guitar, and then the Spaniards left, and what was left was guitars that they did not know how to tune.
Right.
So in the heat, the strings went slack.
Oh.
And that's where slack key came from.
I did not.
And then
that.
They retuned them to sort of make it easier again. So they, again, very analogous. They have open strings on the lower end and then a chordal strings on the upper end.
Yeah.
So that is Hawaiian slack key. In fact, the guitar that I play was bought by a Hawaiian who composed and sang songs in Hawaiian, and he never played in anything but what's called a taro patch slack key tuning. When I got it from him, only had to change two pitches on two strings.
Wow.
And so I've inherited that in the sound of my guitar.
That is cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Good point.
Yeah. Really neat.
So the DNA as drones, are those common to the Scottish pipes as well as the Irish pipes, or is there slightly different tuning?
The A is more common in the smaller Scottish pipes. But for reasons unknown to me, the Scottish Highland pipes, the bagpipes, their drone is an E flat.
Oh, really?
Which probably started out as D.
It just slid down a little, didn't it? Yeah.
That's an Irish joke, but I'll stick to it.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, how about the Ullian pipes?
Yeah, those are the Irish pipes. And one thing that sets them apart is a lot of those drones are metal.
They also
have what's called regulators. So they have little keys that they can press down, will change the pitch of the drone pipes, as well as playing on a chanter, which is more like a deep-tuned penny whistle.
Well, okay. Cool.
That's interesting.
But I love the Ullian pipes. I mean, yes, that's agreed. Is that, am I pronouncing that correctly? Ullian?
It's close.
All right. Okay. I can't breathe.
So it's the Gaelic word for elbow. So those pipes, instead of blowing into them to get air, there's a sack.
You squeeze with your elbow.
Yeah, I heard someone from, I think, Minnesota or Michigan, so I'm not going to hurt any feelings here, who saw the pipes being played with that type of airbag. So, that's nothing to that. Says, you can knit and hold a chicken on your arm at the same time.
Well, isn't that the truth? I love it. Hold a chicken under your arm. That's it. Right. That's it. Well, in the knitting, you know, the fingers on that chanter, they're pretty, pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So, all right. So speaking of all this different music, so there's roots music and then there's Irish or Celtic, or is it just Irish music? Would you compare and contrast those?
Okay. To me, roots music is indigenous. It's music that grows up in a culture, in a place,
okay,
and becomes very evocative of that. But it's so good that people from other places say, well, I want to play that.
Oh.
And so it migrates, but it doesn't leave where it was.
Right. So that's like the Appalachians. I mean, that's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Appalachian music actually grew up out of three root cultures.
Right.
One was the Scots-Irish,
mm-hmm,
and one was the black... Afro-Americans who came in with the banjo,
right,
and then also the natives, the Cherokee natives who lived there, mm, also had songs that they adopted. So all three of those roots musics were combined to become what we call Appalachian music. What's now being played around the world now sometimes is called old-time music.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, and out of that grew bluegrass. And Irish and Scottish music, of course, those are indigenous to those areas, but they've both had diasporas. Irish, of course, because of the millions of Irish that moved here, not just because of the potato famine, though that was a great accelerator of that immigration, but also job opportunity or lack thereof. And so that music came across to America and down through the Shenandoah Valley into the Appalachian area. The Scots, their migration was a little more north. Like Cape Breton is a big receiver of Scottish music. Scottish music also has a real written component to it. They're far more ready to read off of music. Irish, however, is very friend to friend, ear to ear and ear to hand conveyed. And there's almost a rule in Irish sessions that you play from memory. You have those tunes in your head and your fingers. But that diaspora is truly worldwide. I went to Japan once and found not just concerts, but sessions in Kyoto and in Tokyo that were big and enthusiastic. So it's truly a worldwide thing.
Well, you know, it strikes me that you'll have that a phrase that's repeated and repeated and repeated, and then the next person picks it up and they modify that melody or that rhythm a little bit. No?
Not so much. In singing, perhaps a little bit more.
But,
and some people who play Irish music do say, oh, if you just learn the phrases.
Yeah.
But they're different enough.
Right.
Sometimes when you're playing a tune, there might be, I've counted as many as 27 different variations of a common tune.
Right.
And in a session that's small enough where you can actually hear each other, which is not always the case, you might want to sit down afterwards and say, okay, am I playing a G there or a B?
Yeah,
but generally a little differences in the notes is okay. We don't play harmony.
Right.
Though there might be some inadvertent harmony because of that lack of agreement.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's easy to learn and an easy thing for classical players somewhat to modify. And I want to make a point. Lawson started as an adult. As he said, his music went dormant. Mine did too. I was a piano player all the way K through 12 because mommy wanted me to join the glee club.
Yeah.
when I got to college, which was the 70s, and there ain't no glee clubs in the 70s in college. But so then my music went dormant. But so many people have come to this music having received the training as kids in schools and with piano teachers and voice teachers and fiddle and flute teachers. And then it goes dormant for years. And when they can have time to rediscover it, when the kids are gone, when the nest is empty, when their retirement gives them more time, people pick up their musical instruments again and take to it with fervor and enthusiasm, and they find communities of people to play with, and it just becomes, as it has for me, a huge joy in life. And it just can't be beat as a way to find community and a way to structure your hours.
I have to throw in one caveat, though, that I played folk music, you know, in high school and college. You know, that's when the big folk thing was going on. Played with a couple of different groups, large groups, you know, like the New Christies. I mean, that kind of stuff. Well, I tried to pick up the guitar not too long ago, and I find that I have such arthritis in my hands that I can't play the darn thing anymore. And I was going to do that, you know, to pick mm-hmm. that back up, and I just can't do it, you know. Sorry to say.
You need the dadgad tuning.
I guess I do.
It'll help.
You know, I did think about that. I did, about slack key in particular. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are some shortcuts. Yeah. And I would say that, mm-hmm. as Karen mentioned, it's a way to fill your life with joy and community.
Right. Yeah.
But also, learning a new skill past a certain age, you can not only stop your brain from deteriorating, but it will create new circuits, and you will have a healthier brain. And music has been shown to be the fastest and most complete way to create new pathways in your brain. Mm-hmm. So everybody who's not playing music, I would recommend that you go start now, no matter who you are or what you're doing.
Yeah.
Music and math. That's what they say. Music and math are those two things.
One is much more fun.
Yes, indeed.
Well, they're sort of in different parts of the brain, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, and music and math are synchronous.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, what's time to a musician?
Essential.
Almost everything.
Absolutely. Well, I kind of want to combine two questions here. You know, I want to talk about Irish Fest, you know, this past weekend, but also just kind of continue to talk about that kind of musical traditions that you guys play. You know, there's Celtic music, right? And then there's sort of what we would consider maybe more modern Irish music, which is a lot of music of protest and movement. And, you know, it's very sort of, it's different, right, than what we might think of as Celtic music. Yeah. So, you know, what was played at Irish Fest, and what do you play, and, you know, how do you kind of combine those traditions or see those traditions as sort of two traditions that grew out of each other?
Well, in Irish music, there's, I'd say, the oldest strand is the harp music and the pipe music, because that goes back hundreds of years to the times of the bards. But both those instruments were much suppressed, starting with Elizabeth's time, when Cromwell reputedly had the order to kill any harpist that he could come across, and of course break up their instruments. But the dance music took off probably in the 1800s, and those would be the jigs, reels, and hornpipes, as opposed to like the slow airs and the marches of the piping tradition. And when amplification came in with electricity, and the church outlawed dancing in the homes, oddly enough, the dances hit the churches. Good fundraisers for the churches. Mm-hmm. And with amplification, other instruments came in, like the box and the piano. The songs of protest are, the protest stuff is mostly song-based. Mm. And we did some of that in the Island Irish Fest, and we'll be doing more tonight. In the event that we had on Saturday, after we had the dance with its jigs and reels and waltzes, then Triskelion, our trio, is a mixture of Mark Wells singing, ballads, sad songs, up-tempo things, and Lawson and I doing jigs and reels, pretty much. Then Kat, who has a background in with an Irish band called Bohola out of Chicago, with Sean Cleland and Jimmy Keane. She's got a strong political bent and social justice bent. John Whelan, though, who is a third band up with Mark Graham, the harmonica player, who we all know and love, John's more of a pure drop kind of guy. He plays the jigs and the reels and the hornpipes as they should be played in Ireland. In fact, one of the tunes that I'm going to be playing tonight on the low whistle, I was playing with his wife the other day, and he came running up and said, "Those notes are wrong." Let me tell you how it was really done, how the composer taught me and I taught them, so you got to learn to play it this way. Oh. I'm still working on my hands, getting used to those adjustments.
So is this a good segue into hearing some of this music?
Yeah, it is.
All right, so here we go.
Before you start, we have selected some very short segments that we recorded at rehearsal, so you may hear rehearsal sounds and voices that wouldn't be in a final recording.
Performance, right.
And we've tried to find some that represent the different types of things that we're going to be presenting tonight, different musics, different types of singing. And so we think it'll be a good sampler for the listeners.
And
yeah, we'll talk about the specifics after.
Because I don't know which order these are in. So we'll play one and then we'll talk about it. How's that? All right, here we go.
First thing I'll say, if you didn't get goosebumps listening to that, check
no
your
kidding.
Pulse. You might be dead.
Wow. Awesome.
That was Mark Wells, and he was singing in Gaelic. I asked him, what does it mean? He said, I don't know. But he did play dadgad tune guitar with open picking, reminiscent of the harp. So you'll hear Monica on the actual harp playing with Mark a little later on one of the clips. But it could have been sung a cappella, and it would have been gorgeous.
Yeah.
And you will hear some a cappella Gaelic singing. But Mark is such a good musician that he completely enhanced it with a very simple but fitting accompaniment on guitar, as if it were a harp. He just didn't have enough strings.
Yeah.
So he had to do a lot of D's and A's.
Right.
And you'll notice that that was not a pub song thing.
No.
When I conceived this program, An Evening in Vashon, I did it because, we had to have the more pub celebration, more American-style St. Patrick's Day celebration on Saturday. And Lawson wanted to do something on the actual day. So I thought, there's such a big spectrum of beautiful tunes and the old style Shano singing, which is a cappella, and there's the harp in the tradition that at a rowdy pub night doesn't get much voice.
No.
And we could do that sort of thing for this this event tonight. So tonight you'll hear stuff like that, a lot of beautiful music, in a small setting more like an Irish cottage.
And can you tell us where and when this event is?
Oh, the all-important information.
Yeah.
This event is tonight from 6 until 8 at the Vashon Wine Shop.
Oh.
They are going to have some Irish food available. They have Guinness in a can, but they have Guinness.
All right.
I hear they have an Irish customer they particularly cater to. And they also have a fine selection of wines. We will start at 6 and we'll take a break. And there will be, in the second half, there will be some singing along of the sort of, you know, plucky Irish spirit kind of thing that we were talking about earlier. And there will be Monica Schley on harp, Lawson and I on our instruments, and three singers, Mark Wells, Gabe Riley Bates, who's a Sean Noe singer, and Alex Ogle, also a Sean Noe singer, though they'll be also singing some tunes in Gaelic.
And what is a Sean Noe singer? Explain it to our listeners.
Sean Noe is Irish Gaelic for old style. And it is almost always sung a cappella. Is also typical that, like fiddle playing, it is well ornamented with all these kind of up and down trills called, beautiful word, melismas. So when you're listening to someone sing in the Sean Noe style, well, for one thing, you out there in the audience, you shut up because a singer needs the airspace. And then you listen for those beautiful ornaments and phrasings.
So shall I hear another?
Yeah, let's hear the next one.
Okay.
Wait, just a second. One quick thing. I noticed in the ad for tonight, it said there was going to be the smell of peat smoke. Yeah. How are you going to do that?
You can buy peat. You can buy peat.
And you can buy a little incense burner for it. And John Whelan was the proud recipient of a tiny little ceramic Irish cottage that was a little peat burner. And I thought, there's nothing more evocative than an aroma of something. And I love the smell of peat. I got stuck with suffering through COVID in a peat-filled cottage in 2020. So John graciously lent me his peat burner.
Wow. All right, here we go.
Okay, so the first cut was two of the three mainstay instruments that represent Irish music, which was the harp and the violin, which we call a fiddle because of the way it's played. And then you heard the guitar on the second piece, which again was in open Dangad tuning. And so you heard some very simple songs. So they were in jig time. The first rhythm instrument that you heard, which Truman thought was a bowron, which is an Irish drum, was actually Karen's feet. And then the second one you heard, which had a higher pitch, it was a box of matches that Larry Lawson had in his hand to light the peat. And then he heard the rhythm while he was recording, and he just couldn't help it.
Oh, that's great.
And so he joined in, and then I looked down, and Karen's feet and my feet were both going, we can't help it.
No, of course.
There's another sign of needing to check your pulse. If your feet aren't moving when you're listening to this music, you might be dead.
That's right. That's right. Well, I love the fact that those are matches. I mean, that's a great sound. You need to add that to your repertoire. All right, so shall we do one more?
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
'Twas in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls of two, a merry broken hearted, saluted father dear. Kiss me, darling mother, drink a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, off to reap the corn and leave where I was born. Gotta stop at Thorn to banish ghosts and goblins, brand new pair of bogs, frightening over the bogs and frighten all the dogs. On the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hunt the hare, turn it down the rocky road, all the ways to Dublin ring for la-di-da.
1, 2, 3.
In Mullingar the night I rested, limbs so weary, started by daylight, me spirits bright and airy, took a drop of the pure, keep me heart from sinking, that's the paddy's cure. Whenever he's up for drinking, hear the lassies smile, laughing all the while, at me curious start with such a part, the bubbling asked me was I hired, wages I required till I was almost tired. On the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hunt the hare, turn it on the rocky road, all the ways to Dublin, rank for la-di-da. In Dublin next arrived, I thought it such a pity to be so soon deprived of view of that fine city. Then I took a stroll, all among the quality bundle it was stole. All in a neat locality, something crossed me mind, and I looked behind, no bundle could I find. Upon me stuck a wobble and cried, ran after the rope, said me conic broke, wasn't much in vogue. On the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up the head or turn it down the rocky road, all the ways to Dublin rang for la-di-da. From there I got away, me spirits never failing, landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing. Captain at me rode, said no cabin had he when I jumped aboard. Cabin bound for Paddy, down among the pigs, did some hearty rigs, danced some hearty jigs. The water round me bubbling when I holy head, wish meself was dead or better fought instead. On the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the head or turn it down the rocky road, all the ways to Dublin.
I love that. I love that. You know, I've heard, I've actually heard the Rolling Stones do that. Believe it or not.
Wow, cool. It's a great song.
Yeah. You know, Kevin, I jumped your question there a little while, so maybe you should take mine.
Okay. Oh, well, no problems. But I think the question, Truman, you're referring to is St. Patrick, and how did St. Patrick's Day become what it is, you know, a celebration of all those things that are Irish?
Yeah. Mm, well, good question. Why are we all here today, after all? Mm-hmm. Well, St. Patrick was a young lad when he was abducted from England. He's actually a Brit, and taken over by Irish pirates over to Ireland, I believe to the north, where he spent 6 years being a sheep herder. And then one day a vision came to him that from, he was attributed to God, your ship is ready, go escape. So he escaped, found the ship, persuaded the captain to let him in, and ended up back in England where he reunited with his family. But a few years later, apparently he received a vision again where a saint gave him a letter that said, we are the Irish people and we beg you to come walk among us. So he was already full of the spirit of the Lord, and he went back to Ireland and spent the rest of his life tromping around, evangelizing and making a lot of converts and leaving nunneries and monasteries apparently in his wake. And he wrote two books, so we know quite a lot about him apparently, and including one was his autobiography. So for years, starting around the 7th century, people started to celebrate St. Patrick's by having a feast day and a church service in the morning. So it still is a more religious holiday in Ireland. When the Irish showed up in America, they needed some affirming thing, and they started these marches down through the town, New York, St. Augustine, to probably down to church, but to make themselves public in a positive way, because there was a lot of anti-immigration feeling then. They also served in the Civil War, which really raised their heroism and service, raised their profile, but still they needed these points of pride. And so these marches and parties developed in America, along with the development of all these Tin Pan Alley parlor-style songs given an Irish theme, like, you know, Red as a Rose and My Wild Irish Rose, are very much the product of America. Some of these trappings of St. Paddy's Day have gone worked their way back to Ireland as sort of pub promotions, but it's a different thing in the two different countries.
Yeah, exactly. I can think of many, many pub crawls that occurred on St. Patrick's Day, but no Irish need apply, right?
I mean, the prejudice, particularly in the 1830s and 40s, right. was pretty amazing in America. Very reminiscent of what we see today about immigration. Right. Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, if I could jump in, on my mother's side is where the Irish are from, the Delaneys, and the family, of course, has had this history all along, and my sister, turns out, left the Northwest early on to move to St. Thomas, and then left St. Thomas after a Category 5 hurricane chased her into New Orleans, and she was looking for work in New Orleans, and as you mentioned, there's Irish pubs everywhere. And certainly in New Orleans. But she found out that in New Orleans, you had to have like a year of work history in a specific type of restaurant in order to get a job, even though she had lots and lots of restaurant and server experience. So she drummed up her best Irish brogue and went to Kerry Irish Pub and convinced the person there to hire her, even though she had zero experience in the restaurant industry. So, you know, your heritage can really be super helpful in your life later on in years.
Indeed.
Very definitely. Yeah. So I had one, sort of getting close to the end, but, the Coors is a group that had made Irish music very popular among young people, mm-hmm. you know, 10, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. What's the take on a group like the Coors? I mean, they electrify it, they rock and roll it, you know?
Yes, and you could say the same thing about, you know, Michael Flatley's River Dance and that mm-hmm. phenomena. And those sorts of revivals are very helpful for bringing people to the tunes and the tradition. And who can help bringing new technology to a art form that's pretty simple after all? We have strong commercialization, but there's also the pride in the heritage that wants to come forward. So I'd say that's the drive that brings groups like that to the fore.
Yeah, right. I agree.
Good. Yeah. So we're just about out of time. So Truman, next week we have a Truman Show.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because I'm leaving the island on Friday. I won't be back until Monday evening. So I'm going to have to scramble to come up with a true Truman Show for sure. But so hey, how about we close out with a song tonight?
How does that sound?
Yep. All right. So here we go. Thank you all for coming, and we'll see you all next week.
Glad to be here.
All right. Here we go.